I have been attempting, said Shiny, to express my remorse to him. That pulled me from one kind of shock into another. What? Shiny got up. I heard him walk a few steps, perhaps over to the low wall that marked the edge of the rooftop. His voice, when he spoke, was diluted by wind and the late-night sounds of the city. But it came to me clearly enough. His diction was precise, unaccented, perfectly pitched. He spoke like a nobleman trained to give speeches. You wanted to know what I had done to be punished with mortality, he said. You asked that of Sia. I pulled my thoughts from their endless litany of Nahadoth, Nahadoth, Nahadoth. Well, yes. My sister, he said. I killed her. I frowned. Of course he had. Inifa, the goddess of earth and life, had conspired against Etempus with her brother, the Night Lord Nahadoth. Etempus had slain her for treachery and had given Nahadoth to the Aramari as a slave. It was a famous story. Unless. I licked my lips. Did she do something to provoke you? The wind shifted for a moment. His voice drifted to me and away, then back again, sing-song and soft. She took him from me. I stopped. I did not want to understand. Obviously, Etempus had been involved with Inifa at some point before their falling out. The existence of the godlings was proof enough of that. But Nahadoth was the monster in the dark, the enemy of all that was good in the world. I didn't want to think of him as the Bright Lord's brother, much less. But I had spent too much time among godlings. I had seen that they lusted and raged like mortals, hurt like mortals, misunderstood and nursed petty grudges, and killed each other over love like mortals. I got to my feet, trembling. You're saying you started the God's War? I said. You're saying the Night Lord was your lover, that you love him still. You're saying he's free now and he's the one who did this to you? Yes, said Shiny. Then, to my surprise, he let out a little laugh, so laden with bitterness that his voice wavered unsteadily for an instant. That's precisely what I'm saying. My hands tightened on my stick until it hurt my palms. I sank back to a crouch, planting the stick in the gravel to balance myself, pressing my forehead against the smooth old wood. I don't believe you, I whispered. I could not believe him. I could not be that wrong about the world, the gods, everything. The entire human race could not be that wrong. Could we? I heard the gravel shift under Shiny's feet as he turned to me. Do you love Matting? He asked. It was such an unexpected question, so nonsensical in the context of our discussion, that it took me several seconds to make my mouth work. Yes, dear gods, of course I do. Why are you asking me that now? More gravel, chuffing rhythmically as he came over to me. His warm hands took hold of mine where they gripped the stick. I was so surprised by this that I let him pry me loose and pull me up to stand. He did nothing then, for several moments, just looked at me. I became aware belatedly that I wore nothing but a silk robe. The winter had been mild this year, and spring was coming early, but the night had begun to turn cold. Goosebumps prickled my skin, and my nipples tinted the silk. I had worn as little in my own house, or less. Nudity meant nothing to me as titillation, and Shiny had never shown the slightest interest. Now, however, I was very aware of his gaze, and it bothered me. I had never experienced this particular flavor of discomfort with him before. He leaned closer, his hands sliding up to my arms. His hands were very warm, almost comforting. I didn't know what he meant to do until his lips brushed mine. Startled, I tried to pull away, and his hands tightened sharply. Not enough to hurt, but it was a warning. I froze. He drew near again and kissed me. I didn't know what to think, but as his mouth coaxed mine open with a skill I had never imagined he possessed, and as his tongue flickered at my lips, I could not help relaxing against him. If he had forced the kiss, I would have hated it. I would have fought. Instead, he was gentle, unnaturally, too perfectly gentle. His mouth tasted of nothing, which was strange and somehow emphasized his inhumanity. It was not like kissing Madding. There was no flavor of Shiny's inner self. But when his tongue touched my own, I jumped a little, because it felt good. I had not expected that. His hand slid down to my waist, then my hips, pulling me closer. I breathed his peculiar hot spice smell, the heat and strength of his body. It was wholly different from Madding. Disturbing. Interesting.